Right. So, The Order of My Steps is part of a question I was asked a couple of months ago, then just recently it came up again, and it was a confusing part in the Bible that somebody saw one part about faith in the Bible, and they were confused because they thought God only gave a certain amount of faith to certain people at certain times, and I think it was confused on how faith works and how that whole entire thing works. So I want to give you an understanding of faith. And there's two stages of faith, basically, when you look at faith. There's the life-receiving faith that all of us have to display, all of us have to give. And it's the life-receiving faith because it's the only path to Christ, to God. It's a thing that allows us to go through grace, as we're going to see. Everyone has the full amount of that from the beginning. We're going to see that. But then you have what's called the apportioned faith. That's after you're living in, or during you're living in, this life-giving faith. Then you get to see where you are with God. We'll show what the Bible says about each of those. If you turn your bulletins over, you'll get a chance to see this lesson. First of all, we know that everyone has faith, only few live by it. Hebrews 11, if you get a chance, and I encourage you to read that. We call that the Hall of Faith, or the Hall of Fame of Faith, however you want to call it. But it shows stories in the Old Testament of all of those that displayed faith. Okay, so it shows us that we all have access to it. Now, a quick definition of it is a true belief and trust in God. Now, there's a key to that, to the in God, because a lot of people have faith, it's just not in God, and that's the important part. In fact, if you read Hebrews 11:1, and it goes into what faith is, and it tells us it's being certain of what we hope for and the evidence of things unseen. Now, we like the first part, you know, certain of what we hope for, and that's what a lot of people think. And how many people have had something they prayed for and they said, and I'm sure I'm going to get it. I'm standing on faith, I'm going to get it. And then it didn't happen. And they would go, well, what happened? What did I do wrong? Where did I fail with this? Well, actually, because that wasn't faith in a sense. It wasn't exactly faith. You forgot the second half of that, where it says, in the evidence of things unseen. Hebrews 11 kind of gives us the example. And if you look at every example, they didn't just have faith. Because unfortunately, a lot of us have faith, and it may be in our families, maybe in something I want, maybe in a feeling, it may be an ideology, it may be in your church, but you have to have faith in the right thing in order for it to be a true faith. And that's why it says the only one right faith is what we see in Mark 11, verse 22. Mark 11, verse 22 says, have faith in God. Now remember, it is to believe and trust in him. Jesus answered this. He says, have faith in God. To have faith in God doesn't just mean you're going to him to give you what you want. It means I trust and believe in him. So I go to him with my request, but whatever he gives me, whether it's yes or no, I trust it. That's faith. You understand that? In other words, it's not me going to God expecting him to give me what I want. That's not faith. Okay, that's a genie. You know, that's a wish. That's a, you know, somebody who's fulfilling your desires. Doesn't make it right. But to have true faith in God means I'm going to present it to you because you told me to, but I'm going to accept whatever answer you give me. So we have to have faith in God. Okay, and everybody has access to that. And we get this faith from hearing the word of Christ, the word of God. It says in Romans 10, verse 17, consequently, faith comes from the hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The word of Christ, as we see in the New Testament, is the word of God. From the beginning, when Adam and Eve heard, do not eat off the tree, that is the word of God. So they heard the word. Now, if they would have just followed that, they would have been walking by faith. You see how that works. But because they allowed something else to make them react otherwise, that's when they went against faith, and they walked outside of faith, and they sinned. And that was the beginning of it, where we start questioning God, adding to it, and we'll explain how that works. The only acceptable relationship with God is through faith. That's the only acceptable relationship. Now, we have a lot of people who have their own emotional relationships, intellectual relationships, cultural relationships, traditional relationships. These relationships we have with God, they might feel good, but they're really not a relationship at all. Does that make sense? God shows us the only true relationship to have with him is through faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible." Everybody say impossible. Impossible to please God. So you can have all these other ones. You may feel okay about it, but if it's not done through faith, you have no relationship with God. And it shows us this. It's saying, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. That's the first thing. And he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So the key is, first of all, that he exists. So you're not making him up or forming him or making excuses for him. No, what his word says, he is. And that's what you're pursuing. And you're doing everything you can to seek him. Now, when it says he rewards those who earnestly seek him, it's not somebody who says, okay, I'm going to ask God a question. If he doesn't do anything, then I'm done. That's what a lot of us do. Don't we have that relationship sometimes? We have this, I asked him yesterday and he didn't do anything today, so I'm done. Okay? That's not earnestly seeking him. A lot of us have no idea who God is, even though his word gives us that relationship to understand and know him. But you have to seek it. You're not going to get it from just one session and sitting down. It's going to be a lot of questions, a lot of things you're going to go through, a lot of Bible study. And as you grow in the knowledge of him, but that's done through faith, accepting that word. Do you understand that? Now, it's important as you read the word, even though the word's giving you faith, it's for you to receive that word. And what I mean by that is some will read it and only take out the things they like. That's not faith. Y'all get that? You can't go in and pick and choose. You go in and take what the word says, period. That builds your faith, okay? And that's important for us to do. Now, faith is our pathway to access grace, to access God's grace, which gives us life. Romans 5:1-2 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith," do y'all see this? "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So in other words, the only way we get this free gift is through faith. See, we've at times preached grace incorrectly. If you hear how grace is preached, some people preach it as if this gift is free, everybody have it, everybody's going to heaven. No, it is free. But you still have to receive it. And there is a way to receive. You know how if you went to get a gift somewhere, they're going to ask you for your license. You know what I mean? So they'll tell you a process. Make sure you have two forms of ID or however. Make sure you come to this building. Make sure you do it between this time. They give you a set of things that you have to do to receive the free gift. In the same way, to get grace, I have to do it through faith. Does everybody understand that? Okay, it's through faith in order to access grace. Grace is always there, and it's free, free of charge, but there is a pattern or a way that we have to get it, and it's through our faith, and that's the only way we get it. Faith is our belief and trust in God, not something we've done, okay? It is our trust, so it's not, you're not getting credit for something you've done. It is you displaying your trust and belief in God. Look what it says in Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved." Okay, remember that grace that we just talked about, how you access that grace? Through faith. So in other words, what saved me is his grace. There was no way I could have saved myself. But the way I had to access that faith, that grace, was through faith. And it says, this is not from yourselves. So somebody's not better. You didn't get saved because something's better than you than somebody else. It says, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. There is no great spiritual person down there. Just let you know that. There is no great, better person than everybody else down there. It's clear and simple. Anything you do, it's by grace. It's a gift that you could not get on your own, because we all have fallen short of the glory of God. It's already done. He already let us know that nobody has reached that glory that we need. And you can't. We have all failed when it's come to that. Okay? So we have this access, and it's not through us, but the gift of life is through faith, okay? Now, though we all have access to faith, some allow their faith to be weak. And if you notice, I say the word allow. Now, let me first explain this. Because, well, let's explain this first. First, Romans 14, 1 to 2. He says, accept him whose faith is weak. So he's acknowledging this person has faith, but this faith happens to be weak. And there's a only, and there's a certain time when we have to accept somebody with a weak faith. And I'll show you where. It's saying, without passing judgment on what? Disputable matters. Now, what's a disputable matter? A disputable matter are things that are within the boundaries of God, and they're part of the freedoms, and it's no big deal. It has nothing to do to hurt your salvation. Like in this case, he's talking about food. He's saying, if a person says, I'm going to be a vegetarian for the Lord, fine. If that's what they want to do, amen. You understand that? That's a disputable matter. They can go ahead and that's what they choose to do. Okay. We can show it in the Bible that you can eat anything. But if they're saying, I'd rather be a vegetarian for the Lord, accept that. You understand that? Now, if their faith was weak and they said, I don't need Christ to get to God, that's indisputable. We can't accept that. Does everybody understand that? Okay. There's a difference between disputable if it has anything to do with your salvation. Okay? So it's stressing this here that it's saying without passing judgment on disputable matter. And then he breaks it down. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. Now, how do we have faith, weak faith? Please understand, it's not about volume. It's not about how much faith. It's about the potency of faith. Do y'all get that? The strength of faith. And I'll explain that. So if you look at Matthew 17:20, he replied, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will be moved. Nothing will be impossible to you. So he's saying you have little faith. He's saying, but if it's that small, you can do anything. So people will go, well, what am I struggling from? It's what we do to faith. Okay? And going deeper, of course, we could do a whole sermon on faith, but just giving a little bit, what weakens faith is other stuff. Doubt plays a part in faith. You understand that? Tradition plays a part in faith. How you see things plays a part in faith. You understand? This is why we walk by faith, not by sight. All these other things, see, unfortunately, you have a lot of Christians that will do what the Bible says, and then you can add to whatever that and is, and that's what weakens faith. You can have all the knowledge, because you have to understand, if it was about volume, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and religious leaders, they should have the highest part in heaven. But he was telling them they're going to the lowest part of hell. Why? Because they had all the knowledge in the world, but they had no faith. Does that make sense? They had no faith at all. A lot of knowledge. So just because you're gaining a lot of stuff doesn't mean nothing if it's not being applied and shown in the right way. Faith strength is full belief in him. In other words, if you're only taking bits and pieces and accepting bits and pieces of the Bible which fit what you like, that's not faith. You have a very weak faith. Does that make sense? How many of you read certain things in the Bible and you like it? Other things you go, I can't accept that. I can't see God doing that. Even though it's clear in the Bible, I'm doing away with it. That's a weak faith. Very dangerously weak faith. When a person goes, I struggle with it, but if God says it, I'm going to do it, that's faith. Y'all see the difference? There are going to be things in the Bible you struggle with, but it's not about you. Faith is, I believe and trust in God. Do you get this? Does everybody understand it? So I'm trusting fully in him. Once again, so it's not about the volume. So as a person, as a young Christian, as they're going in, you'll see them continually studying and getting to know what God says, period. Not what God says and I like, not what God says and I see it working, not what God says and everybody else is doing it. No, what God says, period. You see the difference here? A lot of us live off of proof, and we think it's faith. Big difference. You know what I mean? Some of us will go, I'll do this, and then when I see it work, then I'll do something else, God. When I see it work, then I'll do, you know, no, that's not faith. Nope, you might as well live in life and do that. Find something else, move on. You understand? Faith is, I'm going to do exactly what you tell me. If you get a chance, read the end of Hebrews 11. It says most of those, or all of those, did not receive or get to see what they've asked for. All those people, because they were looking beyond for a better country, for a better future, and they're going to get that in the life to come. So now true faith will be displayed by actions. True faith will be displayed by actions. In James 2, verse 17, it says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. Do y'all see that? Okay, so it makes it very clear that I can say I have faith. I can talk the talk of me having faith. But if you watch me and I don't display it, I do not have it. I don't care what case you may make for it, it will be seen. Okay? It's saying faith without works is dead. So what that means is his word gives me guidance to now live. That's why the second part says that our lifestyle has to show it. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says we live by faith, not by sight. Okay? So your life will display if you have faith. There is no discussion. If somebody watches you, you should be a walking Bible in everything. Now, if I can just recite the Bible, I still don't have faith. If I go to church, I still don't have faith. If I go to Bible study, nope, don't have faith. But I read my Bible, nope, don't have faith. If I watch your life and you just look like everybody else in the world, doing everything that everybody else do, reacting the same way, nope, you're walking by sight. You are, because people say things like, I know the Bible says, but you just said, I'm walking by sight. There is no faith. You understand that? You try to explain things away. Well, Pastor, I'm going through a hard time. That's why I'm struggling in this. No. Then you're still walking by sight. Do you get this? It will be displayed if you have faith. Faith is very little today. You do not see it like you should. You do not. You walk around and seriously go out and pick out the Christians. And say that to yourself. If you walked through the streets or just wherever you go, would they be able to say, that's a Christian? Because the word says this and this is what I'm seeing. Because the word says this is what I'm seeing. Or would they go, I'm not sure. I don't know. Do you understand this? Faith will be displayed as a lifestyle. We live by faith, not by sight. Life or sight is one of the things that weakens faith. That potency we were talking about. Life is one of the things, sight is one of the things that'll do it. Think of it this way. So faith is me taking one step forward, but sight is making me two steps backwards. So I'm still in the negative. Y'all get this? Okay? I'm going to take another one, maybe two steps, but I'm taking five steps backwards. How do I know this? Because you go through a whole entire week of emotions, feelings, and everything else in the world, and maybe most of us go through one day of church. So we'll get one day of what the Bible says, right? But we go through the rest of the week of how you feel, what other people say, people getting on your nerves, television, everything else, and it's giving you a whole lot of sight. And you'll end up giving into the sight. Maybe this much faith, and you're in the negative. We have so many today that are more so living by sight, not by faith. Simply put, and once again, this is the Bible saying this, not living by faith is sin. Plain and simple. Look what it says here. Romans 14, verse 23 says, but the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything, everybody say everything, that does not come from faith is sin. Y'all see that? Okay? Everything not from faith. You see, we tend to live our lives sometimes using faith as an option, right? We tend to use it as, well, I had faith here and I had faith there, instead of realizing, no, it's a lifestyle. Everything you do has to be by faith. In fact, there's a verse that says, my righteous ones will live by faith. That's how Jesus recognized us. When he comes and he's going to say, when the people come to him and try to plead their case, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that? And he's going to go, I never knew you. Because only the ones that are living by faith, he'll see it. It will be displayed in how they live are those. And everything that you do. Y'all get this? Now, once you get to this point, that's the faith everybody has the same access to and we all need, and we all need to display. And unfortunately, we're weak in this. And we need to grow in this. And we need to have this. And we need to help each other in this. Now, after this faith, then you have a strong relationship with God. And you have access to something. Well, what is that something? An understanding of what you were made for. There's a Bible study we did earlier that says purposefully made. One thing people have to understand is each and every one of us was born with a purpose. Here's the problem. we taught ourselves to figure out a purpose you would like to do. Does everybody get this? You know, I would like to, right? And then we start pursuing that. What faith teaches me is to go to God to see what my purpose is. Does that make sense? Not what I would like to do, what my purpose is. He made you what you are. Once again, you get a chance, you'll see some of this in some of the verses here. First of all, look at this. And under the section of portion faith, God placed us in a body where he sees fit. In 1 Corinthians 12:18, it says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Did y'all catch that? He didn't go, well, if you prove yourself to be a good hand, then maybe you can get a promotion to be in a hand. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. You understand? And I think a lot of us think that. You know, well, I'm going to come, and after I'm born, wait till God sees me, and I do, and then he's going to. No, it's not. He's saying, Keith, you were born an eyeball. Then I strive to serve God as an eyeball. Does that make sense? Okay, and I'm just using the body parts as an example. I don't want y'all saying, Pastor, how am I supposed to be an eyeball? Okay, these are just examples. But there's something you were made to be. And you only understand this because of your faith. And it says, he put us where he chose. Does this make sense? Okay. So he went in. So the initial faith allows us to accept the allotted faith God has given us. Do you understand that? Okay. The reason why many do not know their gifts today is because we haven't grown in our initial faith, in the life-giving faith. We are still struggling in faith. We still have a very weak faith. Today, weak faith is the faith. We have distorted the definition of faith. We haven't really applied faith. People are not living by faith. So we haven't gotten to the part. We are still babes. Do you understand that? Before he can give us the important part of, okay, here is what you have been made for. So the initial faith allows us to accept the allotted faith God has given us. And it does it in who we are and in our roles. Look what it says in Romans 12:3-8. It says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, watch this, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Okay, now stopping there, he didn't just say, do not think of yourself highly. That's not what he's saying. He's going to finish it up here. He's saying more highly than you ought. Well, what does that mean? In other words, don't puff yourself up and say, I'm the greatest. Don't puff yourself up and say, I'm better than everybody else. No. He's saying, no. I need you to think of yourself in a certain area. Well, what's that area? He's saying, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Now, this is where the allotted faith comes into the place. This is where he now apportioned a certain faith in the role that you were made for. If I was made to be a hand, he gave me everything I need to be the hand I'm supposed to be. Y'all get this? Okay? So he's saying, stop thinking of myself as, not only am I the hand, I'm the arm and the elbow. So see, here's the problem. Then I will not then work with the wrist. I will not work with the elbow. There's a lot of Christians who are walking around saying, I got this. No, you don't. None of us are I got this Christians. We are part of a body. Don't do this experiment, but if you chopped off a part of your body and say, okay, you do it by yourself, see what'll happen. But don't do that. Okay, do you understand that? And the case is, our body, each part, relies on other parts of the body. Right? You can have the greatest hands on earth, but the hands will be worthless without the brain, without the eyes, without the arms, and so on and so forth. Same thing. As part of the body, I am no good without you. You are no good without me. Do y'all get that? And I can't just pick and choose. That's the problem here. A lot of us will pick and choose the parts we like. What if the hand only liked the neck? Couldn't stand the rest of the body. That's not, if you notice, he doesn't give us that option. So a lot of us go pick and choose, and we pick the ones we like, and why are we still so dysfunctional? Because I didn't pick the one I'm connected to. Who's connected to somebody else who's connected? Do y'all get this? This is why we're to love one another, have equal concern for one another. It goes on to say, he's saying in verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. Did y'all catch this? And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Did y'all catch that? All right? So each of us has a part to play. A part. Everybody say a part. A part means that's it. It's just a part of a whole. So you have one part to play. And each member belongs to, saying, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in the proportion to his faith. You understand that? If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. You're going to find some have strength in these areas, and it's going to be their gifts. And we have glamorized gifts so much that we don't understand some of the most smallest things to the world are powerful gifts you have. Some of you are outstanding because God has given you the gift in encouraging. But you think, there's so much more I got to do. And he's like, just do what I gave you to do. That's your gift. Grow in that gift. You know what I mean? And, you know, embrace that gift. That's what I'm saying. Take that, what he gave you, and grow in it. Stop looking for what the world says you must be in order for it to be great. Does that make sense? See, we go to companies, and the company will praise the executives and the CEO, right? Even though if it was just the executives and CEO and everybody else left, that company would fail. Am I right? Okay? Now, God knows that. And God understands, no. The entire body, everybody is going to be honored in that way. So from the janitor all the way to anybody who's doing whatever they're doing in there, that's an excellent position. And they're going to do it. You're going to see them doing it with pride in God, not in self. You understand that? And an understanding of, I'm doing this because this is the job I have been picked to do. Do y'all see this? And as Christians, we do the same thing. And this is what our faith allows us to do. But if I'm living with my faith and I keep looking over at this person and saying, why can't I be? How come I'm not? Because that's not what he made you. Faith makes me believe and trust in him. Do y'all get this? If he made me a hand, I'm going to be the best hand I want to be. If I'm walking by sight, well, I want to be a foot. I'm going to be a hand. Do y'all get that? You're too busy looking at, and then you're ineffective and unproductive. Because you're not growing as a hand. You're not functioning as a hand. In fact, as a hand, you're using eyesight to look at the foot. You're going, why can't I be that? Y'all see the problem? Okay? You're not growing in the faith of, he told me I'm a hand. Amen. Does that make sense? I remember in gym class, when we were younger, we used to always want to be in a certain spot. But I remember kids, there were certain kids that were just happy they were playing. I don't care what position they were put in. They were just, I'm playing. Whatever. And then you get those who just thought they were the stars. I'm supposed to be this. How come I'm not in this position? Because they really thought more highly of themselves. I deserve. I'm better than. The other kids humbly went, I'm playing. Do you understand that? Okay, well, I'm playing. And they'll take the position. You'll see them playing that position with everything they have. Same thing as Christians. We're just looking for what God said we are, not for what I want to be. Does everybody get this? So he, our faith, guides us to him now being able to tell us what we are and what we're supposed to do. And also, it will tell us what our gifts are. That's that apportioned faith. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, we do a Bible study called Spiritual Gifts, and it explains what that means. And it's just showing you, breaking it down, that the power of the gifts or the gifts given to you come from the Spirit of God. And the services are done by Christ. In other words, we follow Christ's lead in using those gifts, but we give the glory to God. In other words, my gift isn't for me to make the thing happen. I'm just a part. Does that make sense? How many of you have ever gone to a concert or something like that, and when the concert was over, the curtains opened and the instruments were standing there, and you got up and you applauded the instruments? How many of you have done that? Does that ever happen? No. In fact, they can remove all the instruments, but the person who played the instrument comes back on stage and you give them a standing ovation. Am I right? So now, who's the person? We are just instruments. Who plays us? And that's what you always have to keep in mind with your gift. It's not about me shining. It's about me glorifying God. Y'all see the difference? Me allowing God to use me. If I leave a room and they remember me, I really didn't do my job. I leave a room and they remember Christ. I did exactly what I was supposed to. They go, you know that guy, he was in here, but he kept talking about Christ and Christ this, and I seen Christ and I understood Christ. I can't remember his name, but Christ, amen. Y'all get this? We got to the point where we puff up self. We want to display self. I want my own brand. I want you to know me. It's not about us. as the instrument, he can take that trumpet, get another trumpet, and that same person can play a beautiful song. God doesn't need us. He blesses us and allows us to serve. But our faith will let us know that. So it's showing how all this thing works. But it goes into verse 7. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So there's a reason why he made you what you are and gave you what he gave you. And it's saying, to one, there is given through the Spirit of the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And that's a stronger and a different type of faith. Not the two faiths we were just talking about here, okay? And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. Watch this. He gives them to each one just as he determines. You see how that works? Okay. So putting it together, I have to have a faith to help me grow first. All have access to it. How do I access it, you may say? You go to your word and you start just following God, period. And you earnestly seek him. In other words, I'm going to take every chance I can to get to know God. Okay? And in my growing with God, I'm letting go of self. Walk by faith, not by sight. Right? So I'm stopping going off of what I think, how I feel, how I see it. I told you one of the strongest, if you get a chance, go back to the sermon. Things that weaken sound judgment, those main things when we have ignorance, intelligence, emotion, and culture are the main things that are out there that have really been hindering us. And a lot of us as Christians have been holding on to things with a grip. I mean, we're not letting go because they mean so much to us. So we keep trying to hold on to those and still have faith, which has extremely weakened our faith. Somewhere in your life, some of you have a stronger hold on family and try to have faith. Family your way. A lot of us have a stronger hold on our career and faith. Career is equal to faith. Y'all get this? A lot of us think God doesn't know what he's talking about. He must have missed something because I seen it and it looked better, so your intelligence. You see how this works? And this is why we are not growing. We're stopped because of an emotion. Some of us feel a certain way. There's a lot of stuff that we may look at and go, God, I struggle with this. And then we don't budge because I have a feeling about it. But faith will make me go, wait, this is God. Who am I to question God? Faith will go, okay, I have this feeling, I have this culture, I have this intelligence, gone. He said it, that settles it. Do you get this? And as you grow in this, then you'll be able to know what he made you for and where he placed you. Amen? All right. As the word says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of